several things to read. Preacher Lawson asked me on Sunday night to take care of the service tonight. He had planned on being here. And so he called me today, and man, I'm telling you, he still got that you just can't keep him down. And but he's been instructed to rest, and that's what we want him to do, is to get some much needed rest. When he asked me, I thought, well, that's good. That's good, because I had been studying 1 Peter. And man, I can't tell you how many notes on 1 Peter. And I made some good stuff in there. And I thought, boy, that'd be something really good, you know, to teach on Wednesday night, you know, to a Wednesday night crowd, because I wanted so much. And I'm trying not to jump a rabbit and teach it tonight. But Peter destroys Calvinism in one verse. And he lets you know in 1 Peter, he never was in Rome. He never got as far as Corinth. Paul's the one that established the church at Rome. And boy, I'm telling you, 1 Peter takes care of a lot of false doctrine. And but then I thought, well, you know, Roger Lee will be there, and I'm sure that'll be over his head. And the truth of the matter is, Roger will understand that. Every preacher in here will understand it. I felt good about that. And I went to bed last night. You know, I felt good. I thought, you know, I've got all my notes lined out, know what I'm going to teach, excited about it, and I couldn't sleep. I just could not sleep. And I thought, what's wrong? Couldn't sleep. I was just restless. And it was like the Lord was saying, no, that's not it. And I thought, that's just that pizza I eat before I went to bed. That's not the Lord. I know that, because, you know, it's what's wrong with teaching out of 1 Peter? That's you know, that's the infallible word of God. I mean, we all need that. I got up at 5 o'clock this morning because I couldn't sleep, and I crawled in there in my study, and the Lord started dealing with me about this in a very strong, I cannot stress to you how strong. And so this may be for somebody here tonight. It may be for somebody that tunes in by the internet. But I do know this. I know the Lord completely changed what I had studied so long to teach. And he sent me in this direction. It's still about Peter. Look at Matthew chapter number 16. And this is very familiar. Matthew chapter number 16. And we're going to read down through verse number 13. Beginning at verse 13, Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now, if you've studied anything about Simon Peter, you know Peter has a real hard time keeping his mouth shut. That's just Peter's nature. You give Peter an opportunity, Peter's going to speak. So Peter speaks up. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but," now notice this, "but my Father which is in heaven." I want to look tonight for a little while on Peter's failure and God's mercy and forgiveness. He popped up, buddy, just like popcorn. He's not going to be silent. He said, "That's a no-brainer, Lord. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And the Lord looked at Peter and he said, "Well, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." So one minute Peter is able to receive a revelation from heaven from God the Father, and 10 chapters later he's cursing and denying it even knows the Lord. Isn't that something? We're going to find that a lot of things that happened to Peter mirrors our life. Look at Matthew chapter number 26, and let's watch him do it again. Peter, are you ever going to learn just to shh? Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 31. Matthew 26, 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Here we go. It's his nature. He can't be quiet. Peter answered and said unto him, watch this now. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Watch Pete again. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee. You see that? Now, Peter meant what he said. There's no question in the fact Peter loved the Lord. He meant what he said. And he was willing in verse 51 to die for him or with him. Peter's the one that pulled his sword in the garden and took off the servant's ear. He was offended when the Lord rebuked him and told him to put his sword up. He was offended, just like the Lord said they would be. But Peter runs off at the mouth in verse 35, and he said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. He said, every one of you are going to be offended in me this night. He said, the shepherd is going to be smitten, and you're going to be scattered abroad. Peter couldn't handle that. And he said, wrong. Not me. Now, these others they may get offended. Not me, Lord. I'm here to the end. I will never deny. I would die before I would deny you. Well, let's see how Peter does with that. Look at verse number 69 of chapter 26. See how Peter's hanging in there. Verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse. Wait a minute. Hold on. What, hold on. Let me see if I got this right. This is the same Peter that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? We're still on the same one, right? And this is the same Peter that the Lord said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto you, but my Father. We're still dealing with the same one, aren't we? And this is the same one that said, no, not me. These sorry rascals may leave you. They may get offended. Not this old boy. I'll be there till the end, Lord. And the Lord said, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. Wow. Verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now watch this. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. If you write in your Bible, right under that, Luke chapter 22 and verse number 61, I'm not going to go there, but Luke records this. He records the look. Man, I want you to put yourself where Peter was. He has declared, I'll never deny you, I'll die first. He's not only just denied the Lord three times, but he's even fallen into cursing and taken an oath. I don't know the man. Luke 22:61 records this. As Jesus was led out, he stopped and he looked at Peter. Wow. Man, I don't know about you, but I'd rather been beat with a cat of nine tails. I had rather be turned over to the Roman authorities and let them scourge me and beat me and kill me, is to have the Lord Jesus Christ to stop and just look at me. My, can you feel what was going through Peter's heart? Oh my goodness. My, what went through his heart. And the Bible said, and he went out and he wept bitterly. Somebody told me this a long time ago, and I remembered it. He made this statement. He said, "Preacher, it's hard to believe that Peter denied the Lord three times." Here's what he said. He said, "If I had seen all that Peter had seen, I'd never deny the Lord." Yeah, some of you already know better than that, don't you? So let's think about what Peter saw. Peter and Andrew, his brother, was the first two disciples Jesus called in Matthew chapter number 4. In Matthew chapter number 4, it said they saw all manner of sickness healed. They witnessed it. They saw it. In Matthew chapter 8, Peter saw his own mother-in-law raised back to health on her deathbed. And the Lord raised her back to health and she started serving them. Peter saw that. Peter saw the leper being cleansed. The high priest believed that the only one that could clean a leper and heal a leper was the Messiah. That's what they believed. Peter witnessed the healing of the leper. He witnessed the healing of the man with the withered hand. He witnessed, I witnessed the feeding of 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, with 5 loaves and 2. Peter witnessed all of that. He saw every bit of that. My goodness. But yet he denied the Lord 3 times. So we learned something there. We began to learn something. Something I wish I'd learned very early in my Christian walk with the Lord. And that's the fact that you cannot live for the Lord. You can't walk for the Lord by sight and by circumstances. You're not going to make it very long. Peter had seen as much as anybody as far as the healing, the fact that Peter is the one that got out and walked on the water. He said, yeah, but he started going down, but he's the only one that got out. And when he started going down, he knew who to call on. I mean, what an apostle Peter is. Look at all that he's seen. Truth be known, most every one of us in here started out the same way. We did. We got saved. We didn't know anything. We just know we was a sinner. We got born again. And that's all we knew. And the only way we knew to walk at that time was by sight and circumstances. Now, nobody came to me. My daddy got saved about the same time I did. So nobody came to me and said, now, son, You can't walk by sight. You can't walk by circumstances. It rains on the just and the unjust. I mean, there's not going to be rose petals cast in your way now, and everything's going to be nice and never going to get sick and the car's never going to break down. I wish somebody to come to me, because all I knew was things was better for a while. I mean, things just seemed better in my life for a while. But then things happened that I didn't understand. Circumstances come up and I didn't understand. I was just trying to live for the Lord and serve the Lord by sight and by the circumstances around me. And I'll tell you, if you try that, you're not going to last long. The just shall live by faith. There's something far stronger than sight, much stronger than sight. The devil can mess with what you see. You remember in Luke 16 when the rich man died and he went to hell? And he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he said, Abraham, could you send Lazarus back to my house and warn my 5 brothers not to come to this place of torment? If somebody from the dead went to them, they would believe. Abraham said, no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't at all. The devil would just convince them that it was a bad dream or a nightmare. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I dare say that most of us started out trying to live for the Lord by sight. I'm thinking of a man right now. I loved him. I loved this man. I worked with him for a while. He was lost, made no bones about it. His wife tried to live a Christian life. He made it very hard on her to try to live for the Lord. And he just had an old, rotten, mean attitude. I told him one time, I did, Lord, I mean, I stand accountable for what I'm preaching. I said, I love you and I don't know why. I told him that. I said, you're probably one of the most unlovable people I've ever been around. But I love you. Well, that's good. Well, I kept working on him for years. And finally, believe it or not, he threw up the surrender flag, made a profession of faith, said he got saved. 2 weeks later, he lost his job. A couple of days after he lost his job, his car broke down. Then he quit coming to church. He just disappeared. I'd ask his wife where he was, pray for him. I thought, oh, man. Oh, surely not. Yeah, he got completely out of church, started drinking again, and I went to see him. And you know what he told me? He said, look, man, maybe it works for some people. Don't work for me. I made a profession of faith after the Lord to save me. I lost my job the next week. Your point? Well, then my car broke down. I said, your point? I said, you're trying to walk by sight and not by faith. You got to read that Bible. You got to commune with God. You got to talk to him and learn how to walk in the Spirit. You got to learn. Man, if you don't learn how to walk in the Spirit, as Brother Lawson's been preaching, communing with us, that's more than just prayer. I'm talking about getting on your face alone with God and communing with him, having a relationship with him. Until you learn how to do that, man, you're destined to live by what you see, what you feel, and the circumstances around you. And you're not going to last very long. That's what he tried to do. That's what I tried to do. I dare say most of us started out that way. I'd ask you to raise your hands, but I'm not going to do that. That's the only way I knew to start out. Nobody told me. I just started out with what little knowledge I knew. And then when things started falling apart, I thought, gosh, I can't live this kind of life. I thought it was going to be something much better than this. You see, Peter, having seen all of those things, he's seen all of those things with his eyes, and he still denied the Lord 3 times. I sung this song tonight for a reason. What Peter couldn't see then that he was able to see later is what this little blind girl wrote down in a song that had no sight, that couldn't live by sight. She wrote, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. She couldn't see. Pete, you listening to me? Oh, he learned the lesson later. That's why I wanted to teach out of 1 Peter. But the Lord said, you got to give the bad side of him before you give the good side. And I said, okay. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Yeah, she didn't have no physical sight. But you tell me she couldn't see? I'll argue with you over that one. Oh, she could see far more than most people could see. Because it's not about walking, about sight. It's not, that has nothing to do with it. That'll mess you up, man, worse than anything. It's walking in faith, believing that what he started in you, he's going to finish. Let me read one more. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching, she couldn't see. What eye was she watching with? Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. My. Peter learned that lesson later. I've talked about the failures of Peter. And before you get too hard on Peter, Mark 14, verse 50 says they all forsook him and fled. John's the only one that showed up at the cross. We want to zero in on Peter. All of them forsook him and ran for their lives. So we've seen, Peter's failures. He failed the Lord. He let him down, denied him, cursed. Well, preacher, I would never be brought down so low that I would be back in the world drinking whiskey and cursing. You better shut your mouth. You know not whereof you speak. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Lord said to Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, because Satan has desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. There's not a person sitting in here tonight that the devil couldn't sift like wheat. Amen. So don't dare say, I would never stoop that low, preacher. I would never, number one, I would never deny the Lord. And number two, I would never curse. You just sell on. Well, preacher, it sounds like you know a little bit more about Peter than what you're looking at Peter. Amen. So let's see how the Lord deals with it. Let's see how the Lord deals with what Peter done. I want you to look, and it's real close. Look at Mark chapter number 16. We've seen Peter's failure. Now, let's look at the Lord's love and mercy and forgiveness. Does he go after Peter with a ball bat and beat his brains out and tell him how disappointed he is? And I never thought you'd stoop that low. Chapter 16 of Mark. Man, this is juicy. Watch this. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering in at the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now I want you to look at verse number 7, because Mark's the only one that records this way. Just Mark. But go your way. Whew. Now if I have a spell and loose consciousness, I'm not through preaching, so don't leave yet. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Let me say a little something about that. That was a message from a second chancer to a second chancer. Do you know that John Mark, that wrote the Gospel of Mark, was a quitter? Do you know that? Do you know that he went with Paul and Paul's missionary journey and he quit? Not what he expected, man. I didn't expect anything like this. And he quit and he went back. When Paul began to do his another missionary journey, John Mark said, right here, I'm going. I want to go with you. And Paul said, no, you're not going with me. You're not going with me, son. You're a quitter. You couldn't hack it the first time. You're not going. I'm done with you. And there was a contention between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas, the name means son of encouragement. And he went to John Mark. And he said, that's okay, son. You get your Bible notes, you can go with me. So Barnabas and John Mark went one way. And Paul and Silas went the other. When Paul was in prison writing one of his prison letters, he said, make sure you bring John Mark with you. Tell John Mark that he's been profitable to me in the ministry. Yeah. Say, don't you think that John Mark knew a little bit about what Peter was going through? and wanted to send a message from one second chancer to another one? Can you imagine how Peter felt when the women came in and they was excited and said, "He's alive. He's alive. We went down to the sepulcher. The stone's been rolled away. He's not there. He was risen like he said. And he wants you to meet him by Galilee." If I'd have been Peter, Roger, I'd have thought, "Yeah, well, I'm glad he's alive. I'm glad all that works out. And I know he don't want to see me. I know he don't want anything to do with me. I'm sure he still counts me as untrustworthy. I let him down. I denied 3 times that I even knew him. I'm sure he don't want to see me." And then one of the women says, "By the way, Peter, you're the only one he mentioned by name." What would you have done if you was Peter? I know what I'd have done. I'd have made another door in that building where they were at. You're the only one, Peter, that he actually mentioned by name. He called my name. He's not mad at me. He doesn't hate me. He wants to see me. Oh my goodness. He wants to see me. And the Lord meets with his disciples in John 20, verse 22. And it said he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye." And that's for Pentecost. Boy, that's another message. I jump a rabbit. Come back here. Don't run that thing. The Bible said he breathed upon his disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Man. Then he could say, "Now, Peter, you got something inside you that's stronger than sight. You got something inside you now that'll lead you to all truth. You got something living inside you now, Peter, that's alive." Amen. And by the way, that same Holy Spirit of God that he breathed into these disciples, if you're saved tonight, you've got it. Amen. Amen. It's inside you if you're born again. But watch this. You say, "Well, boy, that straightened Peter up. I mean, golly bum, now the Lord's breathed on him and he's received the Holy Spirit of God inside his heart. He's got somebody to teach him now." But the Lord knew Peter had a problem. He knew this about Peter. He knew this. He knew Peter was having a very hard time forgiving himself. That's rough. That's hard. When you've been where Peter has been, like some of us have, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life is to forgive yourself. That's rough. And the Lord knew that's exactly where Peter was. After that, you know what Peter said in John 21:3? Here's what he said. "Well, that was good. I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing." Some of them said, "Wait a minute, Peter. We'll just go with you." Really, Peter? Peter still got a problem. See, Peter still hadn't forgiven himself. The Lord knew that. Peter goes back to his old occupation after he was called from the fishing boat to be made a fisher of men. He went back to his old way of making a living, and he's toiling. And all of a sudden, they hear a voice from the shore that says, "Children, have you any meat?" One of them said, "We've been toiling all night long. Hadn't caught a thing." He said, "Cast your net on the right side." They cast their net on the right side, and they took in so many fish, the net would barely hold them. John, a light came on in John. John looked at Peter and he said, "Peter, that's the Lord. That's not just a man over there on that shore. That's the Lord." And the Bible said that Peter jumped in the water and he swam to the shore. He beat the boat to the shore. He left them to drag the net in. And now he's face to face. And they're going to deal with some unfinished business. My, you got to look at this. I could quote most of it, but I want you to see it. Look in Matthew chapter number 21. I'm sorry, John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. And I'll finish up tonight. Look at this. You at John chapter number 21. The Lord knows that Peter still hadn't forgiven himself. He knows he hasn't. And he's going to be miserable until he does. So they go to the shore. They bring the fish. They have bread and fish upon the fire. Look at verse number 15. We've talked about Peter's failure. Now we're going to look how the Lord deals with it. He deals with it the same way he'll deal with your failures and mine. He'll deal with it with mercy, love, and forgiveness. Watch this, verse 15, some unfinished business between the Lord and Peter. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I believe when he said that, he was talking about what he had known all of his life. The fishing boat, the fishing tackle, the nets, all that. Do you love me more than these things that you went back to? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You got to see this now. Peter's standing there in front of the Lord. Okay? He's weighted down with the fact that he's never forgiven himself. And I see him just like back when I used to scold my son. He wouldn't look at me. He would just stand there with his head down and, you know, kick the dirt. And I just picture Peter doing that. And the Lord saying, Peter, yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Watch it. Verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, get to work. Feed my sheep. That's enough, son. You denied me three times. I just trumped all three denials with love. All three denials, I just trumped them with love, mercy, and forgiveness. Okay, Peter? Now get to work. Amen. Somebody's listening tonight, either in this assembly or over the internet, that's where Peter was, and you won't forgive yourself, and you're afraid to come to the Lord with it. The first thing you need to do, whatever it is come to the Lord and get forgiveness, and then learn how to forgive yourself. And when you learn how to forgive yourself, you know what he's going to say? He's going to look at you and say, okay, good, now get to work. I need some laborers in the field. You've got over that thing, get to work. That's how the Lord works. Boy, I'm telling you, that's amazing. Have you ever failed him? You ever failed the Lord? You don't have to raise your hand. You ever been reduced to cursing? Let me tell you something I learned. There's nothing you can do to make him quit loving you. If you're shooting for that, give up. There's nothing you can ever do to make him quit loving you. You confess your sin, you forgive yourself, and you get back to work. Temple needs you. Yeah, amen. Amen. There's people that I know in my heart that are being held back from doing anything because they don't feel trustworthy anymore because they've never learned how to forgive them. Listen, once the Lord has forgiven you, you should be able to forgive yourself. Because when he forgives and you forgive yourself, he's going to put you to work. Amen. He's going to put you to work. I'm through for all intent and purpose. As for somebody tonight, as that was for somebody, the Lord laid it on my heart very strong way. Let me give you this, and we'll have prayer and go home. This hit me sitting in my study this afternoon, man. It made it so real to me. The place where I was working before I had to retire to take care of Shannon, I'd been there for a while, and they come to me one day, and they made me a supervisor over all the residential plumbing at this place. And the owner said, you know, it's going to ruffle some feathers. I was older, had more experience, but there was men there, one in particular, that had been in there, been there since the place opened, that started out there as a grunt, and now he was a foreman. A very, very, very good plumber. Very, very good. And so, you know, I expected him to get mad because he had actually been at the company longer, but I had more experience. And so I could feel the tension building, and we were very good friends. He was actually a brother in Christ. And but I knew I could feel it, feel the tension in the mornings when I'd have the meetings. And finally one day he blowed up on me in front of some of the other workers, and told me he was mad that he felt like he had been misaligned. He had been there longer, and the job that I had been given should have been his. And so I reached down, and I took my phone off, and I handed it to him. I said, give me your phone. I said, here's my company truck keys right here. I said, lay yours on my desk. He said, what are you doing? I said, you take my phone, you take my truck. You do what I do for 2 weeks, I'll run your crew for 2 weeks. No, that wouldn't mean nothing. My owner's done made a, he got mad. And can I be honest with you? You put yourself in his place, I'd have got a little ruffled too. He didn't realize, me and the owner of that company went years back before I ever went to work there. And he got mad at me. And a part of my job was to go out and check every job that they done before the plumbing inspector looked at it. I'd go out and meet with the foreman, and I'd walk the job, make sure that everything was done to code before I scheduled an inspection. Just so happened, a couple of days after that, I had to go. I'm not going to give his real name. I got his real name written down here, but you can't see my notes, so you don't know his real name. But we're going to call him Tommy. And that's not his real name. But I seen it come up, and I thought, oh, man, I got to go out to Lot 64 and walk that job with Tommy because I got an inspection on it tomorrow. So when I pulled into subdivision, I called him on his company phone, and I said, man, I just pulled into subdivision. I'll be there shortly. He didn't answer. He just hung the phone up. I thought, oh, boy. So I got there, and he was gone. He left, and his guys was there. And, of course, like always, I walked a job and looked at it. It was perfect. He was an excellent plumber. Knew the code very well. Been doing it for years. And his crew said, Barry, I wish you and Tommy would get this thing worked out. And I said, what do you mean? Oh, man, he's making our life miserable. You know how pleasant he used to be? Always laughing and cutting up. Said, he's making our life miserable. Said, he's chewing us out for everything. Said, we can't do enough to please him. I wish you two to get this worked out. And this is what I told him. I said, look, there's nothing on my side to work out. I have absolutely no ought against him whatsoever. As a matter of fact, he had a right to get mad. But it wasn't my fault. I have no ought against him. He's my brother. I love him. There's nothing he can do to make me quit loving him. You tell him I said that. Okay, can we tell him that? And I said, sure, tell him that. And so Friday rolled around, and the foreman would come into my office and pick up a check, an envelope that had their check and their crew's check in it. And I knew it was about time for him to come in. And so he finally came in. I was doing some paperwork, and he just walked in, grabbed his check, and he walked over away from me. And he stopped at the door. I just kept my head down, and he said, Mac? I said, yeah.
He said, I'm sorry for acting like a fool. He said, I even got my wife mad at me. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just nodded my head. And he said, well, ain't you going to forgive me? I said, Tommy, there's nothing for me to forgive you for. I never had any ought against you to begin with. You had every right to get mad. He said, so you mean you already forgiven me for me acting like a fool and calling you out in front of everybody? I said, yeah. I forgive you for that. You had somewhat of a right. And he dropped his head. I never will forget it, Roger. He said, well, why do I still feel this way? If you've forgiven me, I've told you I made a fool out of myself. Why do I still feel this way? I said, Tommy, why don't you try forgiving yourself? Give that a try. You don't need forgiveness from me. I never had nothing against you. Just forgive yourself for the way you acted. And I seen a smile slowly start to, he said, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean, Mike. He's, yeah. Yeah, I do. I forgive myself. Man, that feels good. I feel like a weight's been took off of me. Thank you, man. That feels good. He said, we good? I said, we're good. Make sure that house is ready Monday. I got an inspection on it. And we've been good ever since. But you see, what put the weight on him, had him lowered down, was the fact that he couldn't forgive himself. Man, my Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the truth of the blessed, precious, righteous, infallible, inerrant word of the living God. I thank you for the lesson you taught my heart tonight. I started out, Lord, trying to live by sight and circumstances, and boy, I really made a mess of everything. Where someone had preached this message to me many, 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 many years ago when I was ignorant and unlearned, didn't know about living for faith, didn't know about reading my Bible on a regular basis and communing with you and trying to walk in the Spirit. I didn't know about any of that stuff, Lord. And I caused a lot of hurt and heartache and pain until I learned the lesson that Peter learned. And then I finally learned how to forgive myself. And then you put me back to work. If you're talking to anybody here tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help them. God, I pray you'd take this message, this lesson, and drive it home to their soul. If there's someone over the internet that's listened to this and they realize that this thought, this lesson, this message was for them, my Father, I pray you would help them. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll give you praise for it. We ask you to touch our pastor tonight. Thank you for bringing him through this procedure. And Lord, we love him. We miss his presence when he's not here. He misses us. He misses us, I'm sure, as much as we miss him. And I pray you touch him, Lord, and give him strength. Bring him back to us Sunday. And for all that you do, we'll give you the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. All righty. I don't know if you preachers ever...